You're listening to the Wine Country Live Morning Show with Barry Martin
on KVON Napa, 1440 AM at KVON.com.
And it's time now for our weekly visit with Napa County's public health officer. It's Dr. Karen Belluccio joining us now via telephone. Good morning, doctor.
Good morning, Barry.
How are we doing today? Starting a new week, feeling optimistic?
Yeah, I think I would say that there's a good reason to feel optimistic.
And I think the primary question on everybody's minds is the moving to that orange tier. There have been some very positive indications and suggestions and maybes and what ifs. Where do we stand today in terms of moving to the orange tier?
Well, we will be officially assigned our tier tomorrow, but just based on the look at the snapshot tool, it looks like our metrics are fitting in the orange tier. So what that means is we need this week to be in an orange tier in terms of metrics, and then next week to be in orange tier, and then we could move to the orange tier on the 30th.
So we've gone over this many times, but for those who haven't grasped all the granular detail, discuss that metric equation. It's not just purely the number of cases, right?
Yeah, it has to be three measures. There is the case rate per 100,000 population, and then there is the testing positivity rate, and then there is the health equity testing positivity rate. So our case rates have been, they had remained in the red tier, and then our testing positivity and health equity metrics had been in the orange tier and actually dipped in the yellow last week. I think that the part that holds us back is the case rate. And now the case rate is cooperating, at least just based on a preliminary look over the weekend.
Mm-hmm. The figures come out, for those who aren't familiar, around, say, 1 o'clock on a daily basis. We see what the numbers are for the previous reporting period. And then it's Tuesdays, as you mentioned, when the state puts out their weekly numbers. So there are all these different special times to tune in for latest information. So the 30th of March, you just mentioned, is a possible date when we would switch over, which would then allow some activities to expand, and would it allow any new activities to start taking place?
Yeah, so what it would do is it would increase restaurant capacity, indoor capacity to 50%. Gyms and fitness centers can go to 25%. This also allows for indoor operations of wineries, and now breweries and distilleries, because there's assigned seating at 25%. It would also allow for family entertainment centers to start doing indoor activities. So an example of a business that could open is bowling. It does increase openings of some activities, and the best way to look at this in granular detail is to go to covid19.ca.gov, because I have to admit that I have to look at that matrix every time because I lose track myself.
You don't have all four tiers memorized, all the percentages and everything?
No.
For something, one of the things we've been accustomed to is the idea that being indoors together is increasingly dangerous in terms of the spread of the disease if it's for an extended period of time. Do any of these time limitations apply in the orange tier? For example, just making something up, the bowling alley can open, but can you stay there for 2 hours at a time?
Yeah, I don't believe there's a limit for the indoor entertainment, and I would have to look at that, but I know that the part where they definitely restricted the amount of time that's indoors is in wineries, breweries, and distilleries. So they're talking about a 90-minute time limit with the fact that the business has to close at 8 p.m. And there has to be assigned seating. So that's where they've restricted it. I think the thing that limits that they're trying to limit exposure from is the time that you're unmasked. Because basically, if you're drinking a brew or you're doing wine tasting, you are going to be without a mask for some period of time. So the whole idea is to decrease exposure, and then also to make sure that when there's indoor operations of these businesses, that there's really good ventilation, because that is a key part of preventing transmission indoors.
Very good. So manageable time limits, nothing too oppressive, it sounds like.
I would say it's manageable.
Yeah. Let's touch on for a moment this new guideline in terms of social distancing directly applied to schools. And what's now happened, first the CDC and now the State Department of Health has said that schools can try to maintain a 3-foot spacing between students rather than the 6 feet, and that will be okay. What's your reaction to that in general?
I think that, we're trying to balance the ability for children to have in-person education with the transmission of disease. So I think what's important to note here is that in the classroom, children can be 3 feet apart. And then the teacher has to be 6 feet apart or more from the students. And then staff at the school have to be 6 feet apart. So the whole reason why they're doing this is because trying to implement social distancing measures, especially in schools that don't have as much, they're not as financially flush, with it being able to adjust staffing and the physical layout in order to follow the 4 to 6 foot social distancing. It does put people at a disadvantage if they go to a school district that doesn't have the money to do all that. And so it actually creates issues with equity. So it's just a matter of balancing it out. And also they found that there are other ways to mitigate spread of disease in schools aside from social distancing. So I think the important component that has to be added to this is making sure that all students are masked and that there's good ventilation and that there's continued symptom screening and, testing just to make sure that there isn't transmission. And in some cases, they may have to put up physical barriers, but that is not the plexiglass or the plastic barriers. But that's not the number one strategy. I think the top three are masking, ventilation, symptom screening. Those are the top three. So I think that's the whole idea, is just to balance it. And then they've also, determined just based on some studies that transmission, there's still a risk of transmission with 3 feet, but if you layer the other strategy that decreases that transmission while enabling more in-person education to occur.
We're talking with Dr. Karen Relluccio. It's our regular Monday update on coronavirus in Napa County, and we touch on the bigger stories too, and like that one that we just covered. Santa Rosa Press Democrat is reporting a story saying experts warn of third wave in Sonoma County as spring arrives. This is obviously the sort of, lurking in the background scenario for a lot of folks. You can see everything's improving, but we felt like things were improving before, and then we got tricked. What are your thoughts about where we are now? Are we at risk of another surge?
That is not out of the question at this point, mainly because we are seeing circulating variants of the SARS-CoV-2 virus. I think that we are seeing cases of people that have been fully vaccinated against COVID-19 who have then developed a breakthrough infection. So you cannot rule it out at this juncture.
So it's a wait and see. Obviously, there is a lot of vaccinating going on. The numbers nationally are surging, and pretty good results here in California as well. How are we doing in Napa County? Are we meeting the goals locally?
Yeah, we are doing the best that we can. I think that our goal was to do 13,400 doses per week, but we don't have enough vaccine in order to do that. But I can tell you that we have a lot of capacity to do what's needed. I think that the piece that complicates us a little more and gets in the way of vaccinating is the fact that we have to transition to the statewide vaccination network through Blue Shield. So we're in the process of doing that, as well as transitioning to scheduling clinics on MyTurn, which is the statewide enrollment system for vaccination, as well as the back-end clinic or appointment management system that's being used by the state.
How do you feel about the Blue Shield involvement? I was just looking at a story recently that told me only 8 counties have actually completed that process yet. Some have been pushing back on it, Santa Clara as an example. How do you feel about it?
Well, I think I can say that we could accomplish our goals without having them involved, but this is a statewide wish. And I think part of the rationale for the state wanting to do this is because we need a single system in which data is reported. So when you look at, the number of doses allocated and the number of vaccines administered and the number of doses that are on inventory, there are problems with the data reporting depending on the county. So the whole idea about this is to have more transparency about, how many doses are administered and all that data. And that's one reason why the state wants to push this to MyTurn. And in addition, Blue Shield will have allocation authority of vaccines instead of counties. So under the state direction, the state gives guidance to Blue Shield on how these doses are allocated, and then they're the ones that ultimately are responsible for allocating from here on out.
Very good. The Johnson & Johnson vaccine, is it part of our mix here locally at this point?
We have only had very few doses of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. We probably got that allocated to us, about 3 weeks ago, I believe. I think that those doses will go up gradually, but it's not a large part of our allocations at this juncture. But in the future, it will have more of a significant role.
Mm-hmm. And there's news out today on the late stage trial on the AstraZeneca vaccine, and everything is checked out. According to the company, they're getting close to applying for their emergency use authorization. And I think last time it took about 3 weeks to complete that process. The obvious concern, there have been some questions asked in Europe about blood clots and so on. There's nothing to indicate that's actually a true issue with this vaccine, but the skepticism about it probably is affected by that news. Is anything that I just said inaccurate? Do you feel like when the AstraZeneca is added to the mix, it will be safe for people to take?
Yeah, it's at this point, until there's a formal review by the FDA and the CDC, I don't feel like all the information that I have is based on the news, and yeah. I would rather have, trusted experts determine the safety and efficacy of that vaccine.
Certainly seems like a prudent thing. I'll talk about what's in the news, and you can wait for the official. So things are getting better. Orange tier potentially in 10 days or less. And what's the rest of the spring and the summer look like to you? When can people, do things, for example, without thinking about spacing? When do you envision we might have a world where we don't need to wear a mask any longer?
Oh, gosh. Well, you're asking me to look at a crystal ball, which I I don't. I think things will be better in the summer, but I really don't know how much of a role that the variants will play. We are detecting more of them, and that it's hard to say. We cannot rule out another wave. So I think that at this point, the most important thing is to keep, practicing the three W's, wear a mask, wash your hands, watch your distance. And, you know, I know that there's guidance in the CDC for people that are fully vaccinated on how they can interact with each other. So, for example, if you have your family members vaccinated and you're vaccinated, then, it does allow for, for not following physical distancing and being able to, give each other a hug. But I think that we are still at the point where we have to proceed carefully.
That'll do it with Dr. Karen Relluccio, our weekly update. Dr. Relluccio is Napa County's public health officer and is kind enough to join us every Monday and give us an update. And will you be presenting to the Board of Supervisors tomorrow?
Yes, I will.
Okay, and that's usually right at the start around 9 o'clock, 9:05.
Yes.
Okay. So for those who want to tune in and get the latest, you can, a more involved and detailed presentation. Dr. Relluccio, thanks for your time this morning and each week.
Thank you, Barry.
All right. Thank you. Have a good one today.
You're listening to the Wine Country Live Morning Show with Barry Martin
on KVON Napa, 1440 AM at KVON.com.